right there. I knew the duck hunter had had awakened. He's feeling better now after a little bit of nap. I know I always do. Let me see if this button here, I can get it turned on. I always. How about that right there? Is that it? Thank you. Take your Bible, if you will, please, to the book of John, St. John, chapter number 15. St. John, chapter 15. It's good to be saved, to know the Lord and the free pardon of sin. And let me tell you right now is that the closer the coming of the Lord, the fewer and fewer people you're going to see. Now, there's a lot of people, you know, that are trying to move out in mass production. And whenever some tragedy or something happens, but it fizzles out pretty quick. It's short-lived and all that business there. You know why? I'll tell you why. It's because there's shame on the devil. There's nothing he can do about the work of God. And the Lord Jesus Christ has given us the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also the Greek. And so I'm glad that he's the same Lord over all, and he's rich unto all that call upon his name. John chapter 15, you find the place you're able to stand. Look in verse 15. Notice in verse 15, St. John chapter 15, verse 15. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of the Father I have made known unto you. You have not chosen me, but I've chosen you. Let me ask you this. Can you remember the day God chose you? I mean, buddy, he come knocking on the door, sitting in the pew right where you were. And while you sat there, God knocked on your heart's door and opened your eyes to let him know that it's you he's come to visit. He said, you've not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and that whatsoever you shall ask of my Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, that you love one another. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you're not of the world, but I've chosen you out of the world, and therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I have said unto you. The servant is not greater than his Lord. And if they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. And if they've kept my saying, they will keep yours also. Now, Father, we ask the blessing upon the reading of the word, and we thank you for it. We want to thank you for the good songs of Zion that we've been able to enjoy together. There may be somebody here lost without God this morning. I pray that, Lord, you'd bring them to the realization of their need for Christ. And, Lord, may this be a day that they've been chosen of thee and brought into the family of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you and be seated. I want to preach a little while this morning on when you love the world and the world loves you. In the passage that we've just got through reading in verse number 19, he said, if you were of the world would love his own. You know how you can tell if you're really a child of God or not? Well, the test of a Christian is by the word of God. Remember the word of the Lord. And let me tell you something, is that when God, by his grace, draws you by his word into the family of God, I can tell you right now, the word of the Lord, how you respond to the word of the Lord. You know the reason why, and there's been many times, is that people come together and they'll come, and sometimes they'll visit. Sometimes I've had people that remembers for years and that lived without God and came faithfully to church, died without the Lord, and went to hell without God. That's sad, isn't it? And you know the reason why it's that way? They just did not believe the story or the lesson or the record that God has given his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know, whenever you begin to look into the Bible, you begin to recognize and know that when you respond and how you respond to the word of the Lord tells if you're a child of God or not. Not only is the word mentioned, but the world is mentioned. Do you find yourself the world likes you better than you like the word of the Lord? See, how you respond to the rest of this world. You know, the Bible said over there in the book of 1 John, about chapter number 2, and I don't know, about verse 15, somewhere along there, love not the world, neither the things of the world. Yeah, because let me tell you, he that loved the world, the Bible said, the love of the Father's not in him. You know, you can just tell right off, and I'm not talking about, you know, every now and again, everybody wakes up and you're having a bad day and so forth and on. And I realize, you know, that the spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak. But in this lesson here that we're looking at, let me tell you, is that when you've got more love for the world than you do for the Word, you need to get washed by the blood, see? I can tell you, I can remember the day God came knocking on my heart's door. And I can remember whenever he knocked on it in conviction and more than one time. I can remember the day that I wasn't going to let him leave without opening up and saying, yes, Lord, to whatever it is he wanted, and I knew exactly what he wanted. It wasn't my sister, it ain't my brother, it was me, oh Lord, that stood and is standing in the need of prayer. I was glad whenever I got saved by the grace of God, and it made me glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. You know, out of all these years that I've been here, I've got one aim, that we might be able to exalt and magnify the name of the Lord Jesus Christ together, and that he might snatch some of you as a brand from the burning, and he has, and that he saved your soul from hell and established your feet upon the solid rock, and you've been going for him ever since, and that's a good thing and a good, wonderful memory to be able to look back upon in life. Every time one of these babies are born, I'm not only praying for the health of the mama and the health, but I'm also praying in advance for, I'm not asking you to raise your hand or anything like that, but how many of you remember to pray for all these little boys whenever they were little old babies? That little old boy right there that is a baby, learning how to duck call, how many's prayed? What I do, I hit it with my hand or something. Well, I'm glad to have this arm to keep knocking it loose, but I'm going to try to be more careful. Thank you. In this lesson here, you're looking at it, and let me tell you, the time to start praying for these little girls and these little boys, these young ladies, and I remember when many of you came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of you got saved at home, came to church and made it known. Some of you got saved down here at the church house. Some of you got saved, you know, maybe when you was on vacation. I just said all that to say this. We're not waiting until you're grown to start praying for you. We've been praying for you since you were in your mama's womb. And what a good thing that is. In this Bible lesson that we're looking at, you'll find the test of the Christian is how you respond to the blessed word of the Lord according to the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to say to you that if you will, here's what he said. He said, if the world hates you, and I want to tell you, if you're a child of God, you know, I got people that hate me and hate you, and they don't even know who we are. Many of them, you know, you can buy them to church, and they can tell you a dozen reasons why they hate our guts, and oh, I wouldn't dare go there. And the reason why they do that is because way they go in?
Yes,
you do? No, wait a minute now. You ain't getting them mixed up with the old one, are you?
Yeah, this one's by itself, so we're going to say that's the good one. Try that.
Yeah, let's see what that does right there.
That's
it
good.
Says battery. Battery, how about that? Is it on now? Huh? Okay, thank you. I'm going to stick it in back on there again. That's what the deal was. There I was beating myself up over something that the battery. Now, hey, at least we know one new battery made it in there. We're not really sure about the other one and all that right there. Sorry about all that. Jesus said, you know, the world hated him before that it hated us. And the reason why that they're the shape they're in, and because of the fact they just do not want to be cut loose from the world, sin, Satan, their self. I want to say to you that whenever you begin to look into this Bible lesson, you begin to find out is that he said, I've called you servants, and because I want to be able to tell you whatever my Heavenly Father says, I don't want you to have to worry about it, guess about it. The world walks around, religious world that is. They have no idea what God's going to do next. They have no idea about the love of God and about the word of the Lord that'll lead and guide and direct you into all the truth. Thy word is the truth. I want to say to you that if they hated him and you live for him and he gets you and snatches you as a brand from the burning, they're going to hate you as well. And as a result of it, don't feel bad because they hated him before they hated you. And let me say to you that when you begin to look into this Bible lesson, you'll find he tells us, if you were of the world, in verse 19, the world would love his own. But because you're not of the world, but I've chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hated you. I want to say to you that I'm glad to be a part of the family of God. We live in a world that's talking about peace, peace when there is no peace. Jeremiah chapter number 6, you'll find that they were busy in that day. They had preachers telling them what they wanted to hear, and they were promising them peace, and God reprimanded and said, you're promising what you can't give them. The only one that can give peace that passeth all understanding is the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to tell you, the day of the Lord is going to come, the Bible said, and they're not going to escape. And make no mistake about it, I'm glad to know him in the free pardon of sin. Now, I want to say that first of all, that whenever he said, I am the vine, the true vine, and you're the branches. Now, every branch that's in me that bringeth forth not fruit. You know, in the Bible lesson here in chapter 15, he talks about fruit, and he talks about no fruit, and he talks about more fruit, and he talks about the fact that you can have much fruit, if so be, that you obey him and know him in the free pardon of sin. I want to tell you something. Every now and again, there's a branch that needs to have a little pruning, have a little cutting done upon it. And let me say to you that whenever it does, it's because that it's going to cause it to produce better just because it's had a good trimming. Do you know the cutting that he's chosen is that the circumcision that God gives us. You know, when you get saved by the grace of God, God has circumcised your heart. Whether you're a man, a woman, a boy, a girl, circumcision that's real is in the heart. And let me tell you what he does is that he makes a cutting in your heart. That'd be something, wouldn't it? That'd be something for one of you ladies the next time somebody's talking to you and you're giving a testimony and say, yeah, I can remember when God circumcised me. And they're going to look at you weird. They're going to look at you weird because circumcision is not in the foreskin, but in the heart whenever you're born into the family of God. And that's what God's talking about. In this lesson here, you're looking at, you'll find, is that it's a pruning process. I was thinking about whenever you look into this lesson, that a Christian in this world that we're living in has to be cut loose from the bondage of sin, self, and so forth, and Satan, and so forth, and on. In this lesson that you're looking at, you're going to find out there's not only a cutting that took place, there's a cleansing, if you will, please, in verse number 3. And let me tell you what that cleansing is by the word of the Lord. Look in verse number 7. Here's what he said. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. See, what that does is that when you get born into the family of God, it's not just for the moment. Listen, it's not this Sunday and next month you're gone somewhere else and then next maybe a Sunday after that. We're talking about being born into the family of God, washed by the blood, and a difference being made in your heart and your life. You know, I was thinking about before I ever got saved, I remember sitting in church on more than one occasion and think, I hope this don't take very long. I appreciate the one amen, even if I had to get it on credit. I mean, I thank you, but it wasn't. It was real. I will say to you that make no mistake about it. It's good to be washed by the blood, born into the family of God. And let me tell you right now, you'll find there's going to be a world of foolishness in religion without hope, without God. And as a result of it, you'll find that many times we've spoken about it our own sound. Ears are clean and it goes on. And let me tell you right now, in verse number 6, whenever you read about it, he said, if a man abide not in me, he's cast forth as a branch and withered. You know what happens if you're not really in Christ and just got a little religion going on? You'll get to where you're withering. You'll get to where that you're losing ground. You may look like you're fine, smiling, happy-go-lucky, and just I don't know, skipping through life. But if what you got's not really real, then it's not long until it begins to wither. My wife and I have been married now for 50-some-odd years. I forget what it was. 57 years. And I want to tell you right now is that she'll tell you by admission, she does not do good with inside plants. Inside plants do pretty good, but I'm not good at it, and she's not good at it, because every now and again they have to have a little bit of water, or they go to withering and wilting. You know what I'm talking about? Some of you may be like that yourself. And let me tell you, what's going to happen is going to finally end up showing to be what it is. It's going to die because of the fact that it cannot turn the faucet on and get itself a drink. You ever turn the faucet on and get you a drink out of the faucet? I don't like doing that now because there's so many things in it. In fact, there's some of them old houses we lived in and them old corroded looking faucet, you know, and when you're done like it right there, there would be a big roach, a cockroach that long waiting to get his turn. You ever done that? You hadn't? You're just not wanting to tell it, that's all it is. You ever get a drink in the dark and all of a sudden, boom, I wonder what that was. I just gave you a big hint. I want to say to you that the Lord is talking about that if you're a child of God, you've had the water of life. And I want to tell you is that if you get to the place in your life and you're really a child of God and you've not been drinking from the fountain lately, there's going to be a withering that takes place in your life, and you're going to get to where you wilt down a little bit. And then once you have a little bit of revival down in your soul, I can tell you what ends up happening is that you'll perk back up again. That's why the Bible said, wherefore come out from among them, talking about the world, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And I'll receive you unto myself, and I'll be a God, and you'll be my people, so forth and on. Now I want you to watch this and hear. There's a passage over there in the book of Proverbs in chapter number 3. It's about verse number 20. And the reason why God says come out from among them is because evil communications corrupt good manners, and it'll ruin your testimony sooner or later. Now, I was beginning to think, you know, and I was showing a person a passage over in the book of Proverbs, chapter number 23, and about verse number 20, whenever he said, be not among winebibbers. I was talking to somebody one time, and they said, well, now what if I drink a little but I don't get drunk? I said, let me read it again to you. Be not among.
Yes, sir.
See that? Yes, sir. Well, I know, but they know where I stand. Let me read it again. Be not among. You know, sooner or later, that'll drag down on you. It just really will. Sooner or later, it'll catch up with you. Make no mistake about it. You can find out that in this Bible lesson that we're looking at, that your lip and your life and your walk and talk ought to go together. That's what he's talking about in verse 22. If I had not spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. And he that hateth me hateth my Father also. You know what happens is, don't you? We live in a world that somehow or another they just do not care about lining up with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it only matters to me because I can tell you it matters to him. Outside of that, you know, is that make no mistake about it, is that a person ought to be able to come to him as an empty-handed beggar, get washed by the blood, born into the family of God, and then you ought to look right, walk right, and talk right, and spit white. See? I want to say in closing, I remember years ago, and we don't have trouble here, I used to have a preacher that was the former pastor of the church, stayed to be a member there of the church, whatever they'd call me. He'd stand out and smoke in the parking lot after church, and there were so many of them smoking, it looked like the building was burning down. Literally, when you went down through town, hey, how you doing? My name's Dennis Anderson. I'm the new pastor up here. Is that church that looks like it's burning down every Sunday morning? They'd already been by it. I brought that up to the church to let them see what a bad testimony that it was. Do you know they got mad at me for bringing that up? They had a wedding, and in the back they had a couple of, I don't know, plates of a thing, tin looking, anyhow, and they'd been smoking in the church building and putting out cigarettes that were there. And I got up that next Sunday morning, you know, of course, naturally bashful as I am, and said, by the way, thank you for the burnt offerings, but God does not accept burnt offerings any longer. Do you know that made them mad? Well, I meant some of them. I said all that just so you'd be able to know the world out there ought to expect better from people that are children of God. In closing here, I want to say to you that, if you will, is that does the world hate you this morning? Sure it does. If you're a child of God and they see Jesus in you, they don't like you either. They don't like you because they don't like him. I want to tell you something. Is that there is a craving that goes with a person that knows the Lord, and it's a hunger and it's a thirst after the righteousness of God. Now, I tell you what, I'm not everything that I ought to be. I hope you are, but I know I'm not. But I can tell you one thing, I thank God I'm not what I used to be. And I'm glad I've been saved by the grace of God. I'm glad he saved my soul, he changed my heart, changed my life. And that not only did he bring me into the family of God, one of these days he'll take me out of this world, and so shall I ever be with the Lord. The Sunday school lesson that Brother Jared brought was along those lines. He called it the long home. This world's not my home. I'm just passing through. And I can tell you is that I'm having the time of my life. But this is not without some hurt, some heartache, some heartbreak, without some sickness and without some pain and some sorrow. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. I can remember in days gone by when Jesus was knocking on my heart's door, and by the grace of God, I was allowed to open up my heart and say, yes, Lord, save me. For Jesus' sake. I'll tell you, that's been 50-something years ago, and make no mistake about it, he's as real today as he was the very first time that I ever met him. I heard the message. I used to go to Sunday school and church all the time, left just like I came. But on that particular day in March, in 1974, when God came knocking, I did not leave there the same way that I came in. I wonder this morning, is that your case? Is that your need? While we stand to our feet, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, our musicians come, we're going to sing a song of invitation. And we're going to sing and ask God with all of our heart and soul to speak to us in such a manner that would magnify him. Lord, I praise you and thank you that thou art God, and beside thee there's none else. We pray that your blessings be now upon this service. There may be a man, there may be a woman, baby boy, girl. You may have been troubling their heart already. They might say, you know, preacher, I'm not leaving like I came. God's been wanting to do something in my heart and life, and I'm ready for him to do it. I hope that'll be the case. Lord, I pray that now that you'd move upon us and within us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What number is it?
Page number 109.
109. If you need to come, by all means, come and come quickly while we sing.